Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Moncrief on News Talk.
For the first time this year, back in the studio, hale and hearty and perfectly fit... Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley are here.
What's nice.
Good afternoon to you both.
Flitters.
Yes, flitters. They were both wheeled in.
Yes.
They're people outside with the jaws of life, just in case. I'm very annoyed as my husband is refusing to get the snip. We have three lovely children, but I'm done. Our family is complete and I want no more. The pregnancies were hard, the births even worse. We had always agreed that when we were finished with our family, that he would get snipped and that would be the contraception taken care of. I was on the pill for the first 10 years of our relationship. I've always done the heavy lifting when it came to contraception and keeping things on track. And as far as I'm concerned, now it's his turn. As things are getting closer, he's completely changed his tune and says he's not going to do it. I'm considering a sex ban at this rate to punish him. This is a major issue and I don't know what to do. I'm so angry. I put my body through enough and he needs to grow up.
God. I mean, you can feel this woman's like frustration and anger. Yeah. Like it burns through this letter. And, you know, from what she's told us, she's every right to be angry frustrated with this. I mean, she says they had an agreement that when their family was done, that he would go and get the snip because she's looked after the contraception for decades and she went through the pregnancies and the birth. And now it's his turn to go and get a vasectomy. And that was agreed. So, you know, the fact that he won't do it, I fully understand why she's really, really angry with him because I would be exactly the same. The thing that's missing from this is she doesn't tell us why he has refused. Why is he saying, even though we had an agreement, I've now changed my mind and I'm not doing it. I mean, you know, men are famously, with all due respect, I'm in a minority here, more squeamish about certain things, and they're particularly, in my very limited experience, particularly squeamish about anything that affects their manhood.
Yes.
Is that the problem? Is he afraid that if he has the snip,
I would guess so, yeah.
That he's going to have a functional issue? and I mean, obviously, you know, vasectomies don't do any of that. Like they, you know, but he obviously needs reassurance. So, like, the first thing she needs to do is she needs to have a chat with him and find out why, which, you know, maybe she's done and she didn't tell us. And the next thing is, if he does actually manage to say, well, I'm just afraid like that it'll affect my virility or my ability to perform or whatever it is that's bothering him, then he needs to go and have a chat with his GP, you know, or somebody who is independent and who can reassure him. So, I mean, in the meantime, you know, even though I understand why she's angry and I would be very angry as well, I think the idea of punishing him is not necessarily the way to go in order to resolve this. And I think that, you know, have the chat, etc. I certainly would reduce sexy time for sure. You know, on the basis that...
you don't want another child.
You don't want another child. And as you get older, your cycle generally, you know, a woman's cycle generally might go off kilter a little bit. So the contraception thing is much harder to sometimes organise. So you'd be fairly entitled to, you know, make that a bigger issue than it has been heretofore.
Yeah,
because the obvious answer is for him to get a vasectomy. And so, that's what I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I what I find bizarre about this particular scenario is that he seems to be quite flippant and not really engaging in the conversation.
But that's deliberate, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want to get into the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he probably knows rationally that his fears are irrational. You know what I mean? And that's
so
it's a visceral
in the beginning conversation where it seemed like something that was far, far away in the distance.
Grant.
Was it an actual conversation or was it just a kind of a, you know, was she doing all the talking back then? Yeah. Or is it a sign of like, you know, was it an in earnest, that sounds like a plan thing? Because for me, the reneging on an agreement, irrespective of what the substance of the agreement is the bit that I find a bit troubling for their relationship. I
think you're probably right that, you know, when it was decades into the future, it was kind of like easy to agree to. So, you know, because like, he might feel differently then. But like the fact that he has changed his mind is very, very unfair. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, by comparison with pregnancy and childbirth, having a vasectomy, I have witnessed one at close quarters.
You've witnessed what?
No, I haven't witnessed it being carried out, but my husband had a vasectomy when we decided we were finished as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, okay, he made a bit of a production out of it, but he is a man. I remember his... but I mean, he did it and he's fine and he was fine after it. Do you know what I mean? So like his fear is most likely irrational, but he needs to take the fear out and express it.
That, you know, we kind of allow that whinge, that kind of a thing to happen. And we allow that to be, you know, a thing, your men are like that. And so therefore you kind of...
But they are like that. I don't think we allow it, but we accept that men can be a bit squeamish. And they're very precious about their manhood.
I don't think men are squeamish. I think men are seeing that, you know, men are squeamish as a thing to latch on to so they don't have to do whatever they said that they were going to do 20 years ago when
she was on the pill. No, but I mean, men famously don't go to the doctor as much as women would. They don't listen to their bodies in the same way that women would. Maybe squeamish is the wrong word, but they're reluctant to deal with their medical stuff as head on as women are. And I think particularly when it concerns their manhood, they get very excited or not.
Yeah, I know. I understand exactly what you're saying and I kind of see it and I can see
the
problem.
So what's your advice for her then? What should she do?
I just feel that it's this, you know, what I'm feeling from you is that she just carries on as normal with a bit of a gripe over the situation as opposed to saying, I hear.
Oh, no, because, I mean, nobody wants to have... I mean, if she's finished with her kids at three, she does not want to be pregnant again.
Oh, no. 100%.
I think this is a battle of two consequences. On one side, you got the woman in the arrangement is going, if we continue on as is, there's a chance that what I don't want to happen, which is a fourth pregnancy, and all of that will mean, you know, the destruction that will wreak on my body and also on my life and what I don't want to happen versus him saying, I want to keep my options open and I want to, you know.
Oh, do you think he wants to keep his options open? I don't think it is. Do you think it is?
No, you know what I think it is?
Okay.
And this is total... It's not even about he's scared he won't be able to perform afterwards.
Okay.
Because he's bound to know someone or someones who've had a vasectomy who'll be able to tell him that's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is showing... Because women, unfortunately, through their medical history, through the course of their life, are prodded and poked. Things are shoved in them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen you know, a woman give birth, you know, you can't top
that's
that
a really good point.
In terms of invasiveness. But having a vasectomy is essentially you go to... I've had a vasectomy. You sit in what's like a dentist chair, but with your trousers off, and a guy leans down or kneels down between your legs and goes to work while chatting to you.
Now,
most straight men would find another man's head between their legs rather disconcerting. And that's what he's worried about. He's worried about, he's going to be putting sharp things around me, Mickey. Plus the entire experience.
And
over
that, I can see that kind of cringiness. It does put people off a lot of things.
Back to men just being bloody squeamish about nonsense.
I know.
I mean, it really does.
And, no, but now that you...
But if it's never happened to you before... And I know he doesn't have a leg to stand on argument wise, but if it's never happened to you before, because you're a man.
Look, it never happened to me before the first time, and like millions of women went in for a smear test, it never happened before. But you go and you do it.
All right.
I'm saying the same thing, and it relates to stuff. It's not just about stuff like vasectomies, it's things, testicular cancer, and all of this stuff relates to men being a little bit like private about their private.
He'll have his finger up his bum like soon enough as well, won't he, every time he gets checked out?
I don't think you have to do that anymore. I think they can give you a blood test or something.
Can they?
Yeah.
Excuse me, husband will be disappointed. Sorry, Sherwood, if you're listening. I'm only messing.
Yeah. Anyway. way, he can always get his hands on a couple of Xanax or something if he's a bit nervous.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Of course, yeah. I mean, but like, it's all over in, I'd say, a couple of minutes.
Ah, no, it doesn't take long at all, no.
But does the wife not know? Could you not work out whether the reluctance is about that, if that's what the topic is?
But you think
is?
That to me, Sean has just explained the difference between men and women's medical experiences, if you like, up to, you know, certain age. That hadn't dawned on me before, you know, but, and that makes sense. But at the same time, we all, like, as I say, the first time you go for a smear test, it's a bit like, rah.
Yeah.
So, you know, get over it, for God's sake.
Yeah.
He really deserves a smack.
I said I'd do it. And after two kids, when it came to the crunch, I backed out.
What?
Afraid I'd lose my mojo.
See, there you go.
And then where would I be? Another texter says, my husband wouldn't get the snip after our children were born and we were finished. He said it might affect his performance.
Yeah.
I was so hurt and let down. I'd carried the weight of the contraception, childbirth, all through our marriage. He is just so selfish. He wouldn't take any responsibility. We have since separated.
Yeah, like it is. That's really interesting that we've uncovered. So they need to have be a public, education thing around that for men, obviously.
I can remember somebody at, like, actually it's a well-known person,
who
you would have thought would know better, asked me to go out for a pint because he as part of his work, he would meet lots of women. Now, he wasn't planning to sleep with any of these women, but he thought they'd know. If he'd had a vasectomy afterwards, that they'd be able to kind of smell the lack of virility of
him. Holy God. Yeah, no, men definitely need education then. Definitely. Because that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jesus, if that was the case, if it damaged the virility, there'd be more and more women pushing for men to have
vasectomies. I know, absolutely, yeah. In advance.
Take that off the to-do list. Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Try having a reverse vasectomy. That'll make your eyes water, but that's another story. I'm at my wit's end as my brother's partner treats my family like we're a charity case. We've two children who were a few years younger than hers, and she thinks that dropping over black bags of their old clothes is helping us, when in fact it's literally just dumping waste that I have to get rid of. We've now been given four bags of unwanted clothes, which she says my kids will love. There are a few old T-shirts and jeans we have been grateful for, but most of the clothes are stained with rips, and to be honest, you would never be able to wear them. She has some nerve. They should be given away to be recycled in one of those bins. How do I bring this up to her, and she can't just dump stuff on us? And I hate that she walks away all smug because she's being so generous with hand-me-downs.
I can actually see this interaction happening, you know, the sister-in-law coming over with the bags and
Lady Bountiful.
Yeah, with the kind of like, you know, you need this, my beneficence or my munificence. Yeah, look, there's a couple of ways you could go with this. It all depends on what you want the outcome to be, because, you know, I can see this being something that could really rot somebody and make them quite annoyed, particularly if somebody is using you as a kind of a dumping ground. Because there's a difference between, you know, hand-me-downs are not helpful if they come with that kind of a social cost, if it's somebody kind of treating you like, you know, without respect, and also without actually assessing what your actual need is. Because, you know, if you're giving somebody something, oh, you might have a use for this, and it's like, you know, clearly the clothes are damaged or stained or whatever she's saying.
Not suitable,
you know,
yeah.
That's kind of outrageous. It's like the people who dump stuff outside charity shops going, they'll go through it and, you know, find something of use for themselves out of it and save me the effort of having to think about it.
Yeah.
That's not charity. That's somebody being actually quite uncharitable and selfish. And in this instance, I kind of feel that what she has to suss out is exactly what's going on there. Is there actually something going on in the perception in the family that makes one, her brother's family think that she and her family are, you know, are the poor in-laws? Is that what's actually going on? Or is there something else going on with, you know, just the dynamic of the situation? Is it just that her sister-in-law is lazy and thoughtless and all that kind of stuff? What's actually happening? But at the end of the day, I think when it comes down to it, it's down to whether or not you want to be confrontational or whether you want to be kind of just, you know, make your point and then move on with the situation. I think she needs to say something. She should be saying something as she gets the bags. But either, I don't think we need them anymore. That's quite stoppy. You know, I think the right way to handle the situation for me would be to say something like, oh, right, okay, thanks. I'll have a look through, and if there's anything that we need, I'll take them and I'll get the stuff back to you later.
That's exactly
That's the angle you take, which kind of brings the scenario into focus, which is, I might not need this stuff.
Yeah.
You're not doing me the favor that you think you are.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that you're putting in the bag is of no use to anybody else. Now, the exact language determines exactly the way in which, you know, and is your sister-in-law dense that she needs to be kind of have it spelled out. And if it is a thing that you just need to be a little more firm, where you just go, I don't think this stuff is helpful for us anymore. Or you could also say, you know, a little sly word to your brother going, is everything okay at home? Because you know, your wife keeps bringing around, like, you know, these trashy things to us. Like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Do you need help?
That's a good idea. Yeah,
then you just, what you do is you create a kind of a, you know, a circular flow of this kind of energy that makes people, you know, have to clarify exactly what their intentions are.
I'm really surprised that this kind of thing is still going on, because I thought we would have a more, we would be more aware of, if you like, the rules of recycling, whether it's to a charity shop or to somebody you know, or in this case, to your sister-in-law, that, like, fill in a black sack with a whole load of stuff that's not required any longer in your home, and just bringing it all over and dumping it literally on somebody else is completely, like, I would have thought that those days were over, that we understand a lot more now about the rules around these kind of things. But I agree with you. I think that the way to go is the next time she comes over, and again, as your kids get older, it's a great excuse to go, listen, Mary, before you go, let me go through these, because they're getting real fussy now about what they wear. Do you know, like, when they're little, you can get them to wear all kinds of nonsense. But as they get like 5 and 6, they start saying, I'm not wearing that, and I don't like that, and I like this. So say, look, I'll go through it while you're here, and I'll just take what we need and give you back the rest. Because it's not fair. Everybody knows that it costs you to bin them or recycle them or do whatever it is that you're going to do with it. So I would definitely suggest.
But there's an image that I'm seeing, you know, Mary, as you call her, arriving in with her hair up in a high pony because she's going to tennis afterwards.
Yeah.
She just drops off the black sacks. And she hasn't got time to talk to you because she's not that interested in your life. She's just not interested in the details.
But if she hasn't got time, then I'd say, well, look, take it back. And the next time I'm over with you, I'll have a look.
Because you've got to make the time her problem.
Yeah.
Because your time is valuable too. That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm saying that there has to be, you can have a relationship where you're accepting hand-me-downs because of the relative age of your children, that doesn't diminish you and make you into these kind of, because, you know, as you've already pointed out, we live in a world where if you are going to reuse stuff, that's a really good beneficial thing to society.
Yeah.
You're going to take stuff within the family and share
it. And it's great because, I mean, kids whiz through clothes. You know what I mean? Like, you buy kids clothes and they're out of them inside a year, like they don't fit anymore. So it is great if you get some stuff that are, you know, probably not a bit worn out and are perfectly acceptable. And I mean, I remember that when my kids were small, it was brilliant if somebody gave you hand-me-downs that you could use. I'm wondering in this case, though, is there something else going on as well?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier on, because to me, I feel like if Mary comes in with her high pony and her sunglasses and she's going to tennis later on because they have a lovely kind of 5-bedroom house up the top of the hill, while you're living in a different arrangement, and there's a little bit of this kind of,
it smacks of that.
So she wouldn't
She's bringing her own issues to the table as well, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't want to make this the issue if there's something else going on. Like, just make sure that you're dealing with this as a standalone issue, that you're not going to make a big yoke out of it because you really can't stand your sister-in-law anyway because she's smug, as she calls her in the letter.
She doesn't sound great, in fairness.
She doesn't, no.
But you can actually, you know, knock the smug out of somebody quite well with one or two chosen phrases that, you know, get to the nub of the point without kind of causing ructions.
When I gave birth to my very first baby after a particularly different time, my friend's older sister, who I barely knew, came into the maternity hospital and dumped a large black sack full of washed out baby clothes on my bed. My older sister did this for years, dumped stuff on us, especially clothes belonging to her son. I hated it. I said nothing, and I wish I did. Yeah. She obviously had more money than us. Now I don't talk to her.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yeah,
those things can escalate.
Yeah, gosh.
My girlfriend and I are heading away on a family holiday to Lanzarote over Easter, and I'm feeling increasingly anxious about it. It will be the first time she has spent a significant amount of time with my siblings. Don't get me wrong. She's very sociable and great crack. The problem is she doesn't shave her legs on principle. I just don't know when she is going around in shorts and swimming togs that my brothers are going to give me an unmerciful ribbing about it. We're all very much lads. Uh-huh. We're all in the local GAA club together, and herself is from Dublin. They already think she has Dublin notions, despite getting on very well with her. but I just know this will drive them over the edge. I have subtly suggested to her that she might feel more comfortable if she shaves her legs, but she went off in a lecture and told me to go and shave my own legs before I tell her what to do with hers. How do I get her to shave her legs?
Okay, I'm trying to be measured here.
Yeah. I know you speak on behalf of the hairy woman.
Yeah, exactly.
You should handle this.
Okay, how do you get her to shave her legs? You don't. You don't force her, try to get her to do anything that she doesn't want to do with her body. Her body is her business. So his girlfriend is absolutely right when she says, "You go shave your legs, honey, before you start telling me I should shave my legs."
Yeah.
I love how he phrases it, that she's not shaving her legs on principle.
On principle.
Because I love to know people, you know, the people who don't shave their legs without principle. Yeah. just recklessly not shaving their legs.
I love the line where he says, "We are very much lads." Yeah. I think that could be the problem here.
That's 100%.
He needs to not be a lad's lad quite so much as be a nice lad. And I mean, you know, besmirching the local GAA club in the same sentence is not on either. And I would suggest that these lads, maybe if there's a women's team in the GAA club of which they are members, they should go and talk to some of the women in the ladies' GAA. They'd probably explain to them about, you know, being the kind of baloney that women have to put up with from the time we're really young, about all these stupid beauty standards that we're meant to meet all the time, which end up costing us a fortune and doing our heads in. So, my advice to this fella and his brothers is to grow up and have a nice holiday.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think the girlfriend's not going to, it won't affect her in any way, you know, because I'm sure she's well aware that people have the ideas that you're describing there in the world.
Wait till I see her bikini line. Then they'll really get a shock.
Yeah. Do you think she'll be wearing a bikini?
Well, it doesn't matter whether you're wearing a bikini or a swimsuit. I say she's going to get into the pool at some stage. They'll be in for a right shocker then, I'll tell you.
I mean, look, that's exactly it. He's the one who's, the issue is all in him and his worldview and what he feels and all that kind of stuff. And his girlfriend not matching up to the standards that his friends expect and all that. That's all him that's for him an issue. She doesn't care. And, you know, your issue really, man.
Yeah, exactly. So grow up.
The thing is, though, he sent in this question, assuming we'd agree with him.
His question
was, how do I get her to shave her
and
legs?
And you know what his response is going to be when he hears what we've just said?
Yeah.
We're all from Dublin.
Yeah.
It's not a Dublin thing, but that's
what he's going to think.
Although I would watch some like sheep shearing videos on YouTube. Maybe that'll show you how you can get her into the right position
strange.
You don't want to grow up.
I've been in a relationship with my current boyfriend for about 11 months now. My son, who's 9, is very attached to him, sees him as a kind of a proxy father figure. They both love model aeroplanes, and this has helped them bond. However, the problem is this. Over the Christmas period, I came to realise that he might not be the man for me after all. I think the break brought things to a head and forced me to recognise we're just too different from each other to make it work long time. I'm terrified to break up, though, because how would it affect my little boy? It almost feels selfish for me to end it. I've tried desperately to make it work, but I just don't think it will ultimately. Should I keep trying or nip it in the bud sooner rather than later?
Yeah, this one made me sad because I can see, you know, how a breakup like this will impact the kid in the situation. I think without saying your mistake was, but I'm kind of going to say your mistake was kind of letting the kid get into the relationship when the relationship was in its very early stages. And so now you're going to have to deal with the situation as it's been created. I would suggest two things. I would suggest that, for kids, they're very resilient, even though this is not going to be a nice situation if this person's no longer part of their life. I think that kids do bounce back from those kind of things, that you understand what's happening, particularly if the relationship is as authentic as you're saying it is. If there is a relationship between her boyfriend and the child, that doesn't have to sever just so that she can end her particular intimacy with him. I think that's complicated, and I think she's kind of come to that realization a bit late in the day. And you know, unfortunately, It's one of those ones. I'm looking at it going, it's just not going to, it doesn't have a tidy ending. It's going to be, the kid's going to be sad. But I would say not for a long, long time. It's not. It's one of those things where the kid will bounce back.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I would say is that, again, like, Christmas is such a weird time of year. And now we're in like, where we're all very kind of like corralled in together. Yeah. And it's kind of like a pressure cooker sometimes. And now we're in January, which is the month that everybody says, oh, you know, start all over again and be better and do it better and all the rest of it.
Oh, so you think this is like somebody
well,
just kind of...
Well, no, just say to her, take a breath and take your time. Don't rush into this. Don't nip it in the bud like now. I would sit with it for another little bit to make sure.
Okay.
And if by kind of February, mid-February, you're thinking, no, I was right, this isn't the guy for me, then start to prepare your son by telling him the relationship
is
potentially...
This is a month-long relationship, though. That's the problem. This is like months long.
You know,
I know,
but she is where she is. Do you know what I mean? I know she probably...
No, what I meant by that is that I think in a month-long relationship, it's if the child was not in the picture, it would be kind of normal, if not it like completely... acceptable to just go, well, this is run its course and I don't need to have this kind of long, torturous goodbye.
It's all about her not wanting to hurt her son.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think obviously if she does decide that the relationship is finished, I think what you said is right. I think children are very resilient. I think also it's really important to be honest with kids, you know, in language they can understand. But I think explaining that, look, you know, I don't feel the way I should feel for him. And, you know, I'll maybe find another boyfriend. I think she has to put on her Tinder profile as well that she wants to look for somebody with an interest in model airplanes.
Yeah. Okay, that's an unusual one.
Yeah. And I think
maybe that was the problem in the first place.
Maybe it was. Yeah. So she needs to get herself a nav geek. Isn't that what they call them?
A
nav geek. An aviation geek.
Oh, an aviation geek. I thought there was some sort of weird sexual position.
No,
it's hard
not.
To keep up now.
But you need the people that stand outside the railings at Dublin Airport.
No, the people who are at the bound. That's the area at the back of the airport.
Oh, yeah. It's
with their airband radios and their binoculars and their... Yeah, and they watch the airplane. Or Egypt's like
You're
me.
You're very well informed.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm the woman with flight radar on her phone. She's the woman who's the last few days, but it's been really clear. And you can see the Sky Highway. And I bore the arse off anybody who's in my vicinity going, do you want to know where that airplane's going to from? And I go, that one's going from Mexico to London. That one's going from Paris to wherever. And nowhere is where you expect it to be. Like, you look at the sky and you go, oh, look, that one's going from London, say, to Toronto. And you go, God, I wouldn't have thought Toronto was over there.
Is that because the world is round?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Who knew?
It's amazing, yeah.
And can you track the kind of special forces or invading Greenland with us?
No, not generally. Yeah. I do have the maritime app as well, so that you can look at boats and ships and see.
Should go out with your walk.
Okay. I'll see you.
Yeah. Right, there's several takeoffs that Barbara has to track right away. Yeah. Barbara and Declan, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Hayley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.